Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. This morning we're visiting with Carly Vinoy, and she is the Iowa Honey Queen. Good morning to you, Carly.
Good morning.
Carly, this is such a sweet thing. I have to say that. What a terrible pun. And I'm sure people have all kinds of interesting things that they say to that. But the first thing I want to find out is, what is the job of the Iowa Honey Queen?
As the Iowa Honey Queen, I get to travel the state and I get to educate about honeybees, honey, and beekeeping to anyone who listens to me gab about bees.
Do people have interesting questions?
Oh, definitely, especially when you're with younger groups. Sometimes it gets a little off topic. One time, a kid asked me where salamanders live.
Oh, and are they related to bees? Did you want to ask him? That's interesting for sure. So you travel the state and give presentations to various groups?
Correct.
Yes. And you mentioned you can give them to children. And I'm guessing you maybe have some association meetings, some of the agriculture meetings, those kinds of things that you also attend?
Yeah, it's really all over the place. Like I said, whoever will listen to me talk about bees. So I've been everywhere from preschools to elementary, middle, and high schools to college groups, to Kiwanis, Rotary Clubs, basically any place that's willing to learn something new.
And what are some of the misunderstandings that people have about honey?
When it comes to honey, I know that my family actually had this problem as well. People wonder why honey is so expensive, especially when you're talking about getting it from a beekeeper where it's local and raw. Why does it cost so much? And that's actually part of the reason I got into beekeeping was I thought, oh, we can save money on honey. But the reason it's so expensive isn't because beekeepers are making a killing off of honey and they're trying to get rich off of it. It's rather because beekeeping is a bit of an expensive hobby, and it's just a way for beekeepers to reinvest into keeping their bees happy and healthy.
And so
beekeepers don't make a killing at what they do. They just reinvest what they make.
And so what are some of those challenges? You know, I think in the past some of us heard about the bees were dying and so on. You know, what are some of the challenges that you face as a beekeeper?
Probably the most publicized challenge is that of colony collapse disorder, or CCD. There's a big case of colony collapse disorder that happened around 2006, and then different beekeepers around the United States have had issues with it since then. Most of us just deal with isolated issues, not necessarily an entire hive dying, but different health issues throughout the year. So maybe our bees will get varroa mites, which is basically a bee tick that can communicate diseases to them. Or maybe they will be so cold that they won't move in the hive to their food stores and they'll starve to death with honey in the hive. Or they might generate too much moisture and then condensation drips back down and then they basically get dehypothermia and they die. A whole host of things can hurt our bees, but probably some of the worst things that are the easiest remedied is poor foraging and improper use of chemicals. And that's something anyone could help with. That's not just a beekeeper's issue. That's everyone's issue.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that the bees have good foraging and that we're using chemicals in a way that's safe to bees. So spraying chemicals before bees forage or after they forage, and we can really reduce bee kills and make beekeeper's job a lot easier.
So we've been hearing a lot more in the news, and maybe I'm more aware of it because I am a master gardener, but I think just across the board, we've been hearing more about how important it is to have plants that provide pollen for the bees and other pollinators. What do you talk about related to that, Carly?
I actually have been trying to do research on the topic of pollinator gardens because people ask me, what should I plant to help the honeybees?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know. So I actually talked to an entomologist and said, from your perspective, as someone who knows about bugs, what do they need? And he said, I have one word for you, and that is biodiversity.
Mm-hmm.
Bees need nectar and pollen sources beginning in early, early spring. Dandelions, that's one of the first spring foods for bees. So something you think of as a noxious weed,
right,
is actually a very beneficial food for bees. Of course, you can plant other things as well. You don't have to let your yard go to all dandelions to help the bees. But if you have plants for them in the spring, summer, and then into the fall and even late fall, that can be very, very helpful. So having a wide range, wide variety of when they bloom and what they are. Bees like variety in their diet just like we do. So just spicing things up, trying something new. And then just avoid plants that are so ornamental that they're just for show, that they don't provide a lot of pollen or nectar.
And so, yes, I think before you knew about this, before other people know about it, they just think of pretty flowers as being the ones that maybe are pollinators. But a lot of bushes and other kinds of things can also provide pollen.
Exactly. Linden trees, for example, they provide a ton of nectar when they bloom. And there's other trees like that as well. Basswood's another one. So don't think in just terms of flowers. Think beyond that. Anything that blossoms, there's a good chance it's a bee source for them.
And lots of other pollinators. I guess that's one thing that I learned not too long ago was, you know, you think of bees as pollinators. Oh, there's a whole host of pollinators, and all of them are going to benefit if the bees are benefiting. So
exactly.
So then the bees are an important part of what you talk about, but honey, of course, is one of the things that you need to talk about. And some people want to know, okay, I have this recipe, my favorite recipe. It doesn't have honey in it. It's my favorite banana bread or my favorite cookie recipe, whatever. How can I transfer? How can I substitute? What can I do to get some honey into that rather than all the sugar?
If you have a tried and true recipe that's yours, maybe it's handed down through your family, and you just want to change the ratio and add honey into it, your best bet is to take that specific type of recipe and see, okay, is this a cake? Is it a bread? Is it a crust? And then actually look up online. There's all sorts of conversion charts for how to use honey. But that's actually going to vary depending on what type of batter it is, what kind of dough it is. So there's not exactly a standard ratio, and you're going to have to tweak it for your recipe. Not every ratio is cut and dried for that recipe. Probably the best thing to do is to look up a recipe that's tailored for honey, or the Iowa Honey Producers also has Honey Cookbook, and it's already integrated the honey into it.
It's so just kind of compare this.
Yeah, exactly. Those are at the fair or on the Iowa Honey Producers website. But as far as just incorporating the daily things, there's easy substitutions. So if it's just a small amount of sugar, like in your waffle batter, you only use about a teaspoon of sugar. Well, that's an easy swap.
Mm-hmm.
If you're making a smoothie and you'd usually add sugar to it, it's easy to put honey in there. It's just when you get into bread, those ratios are a little more very specific. And so you have to carefully adjust when it comes to trying to switch out sugars there.
And sugar does provide more than sweetness when you start talking about some of the things in terms of tenderness and crust and the whole kind of thing. So good point. And it's good to know that there are lots of good sources of information. And I'm guessing, you know, when I wanted to find out more about you, Carly, I just went into my computer and put in Iowa Honey Queen, and there popped up information. So I know if you just put in Iowa Honey, you can find all sorts of good information there. So
yeah, definitely. The best resource for learning about beekeeping, anything bee-related in Iowa, is the Iowa Honey Producers website, iowahoneyproducers.org. Whether you want to find a recipe, buy a cookbook, get to know a beekeeper in your area, or report a swarm, that's the place to go.
Okay, very good. So, Carly, you said you started your own beekeeping, I'm not going to say business necessarily, although it may turn into a business. When did you start becoming interested in beekeeping?
Well, if we're talking about interest, I first became interested in bees probably back around in third grade. I'm a homeschooled student, and so something we would do during the school year is we'd go on field trips. My mom's a history buff, so we were going to these history days every year. And one year when we went to the Nelson Pioneer Farm down in Austin, there's a beekeeper there, Bill Ebert. You guys might have seen Ebert's honey on the grocery store shelves. But we talked to him, and we rolled beeswax candles with him. Thought it was the coolest thing ever. And then he invited us out to his honey house. You see, he didn't invite us out to the hive. He invited us to the honey house. So I was actually hooked by the honey rather than the bees. I actually asked for a beekeeping book for Christmas after that. I thought it'd be awesome to be a beekeeper, just with that honey in mind. And then as I read the book, I realized that beekeeping was a little bit complicated, definitely a bit on the expensive side as a hobby for a kid. And so it kind of became a pipe dream for several years. And then 3 years ago, we were going to the Iowa State Fair. We're Iowa State Fair buffs as well. Love the fair. But we went to the Iowa Honey Producers booth. They're in the Ag Building above the Butter Cow. And when we were there, someone gave us information about the youth scholarship program. And the youth scholarship program is how I got my start in beekeeping.
Okay, so you're off and running and continuing to gather information, but especially share information as the Iowa Honey Queen.
Definitely.
So we want to thank you very much, Carly Vannoy, for visiting with us and teaching us a bit more about honey and about beekeeping. So until next time, here's a thought from David Attenborough. It seems to me that the natural world is the greatest source of excitement, the greatest source of visual beauty, the greatest source of intellectual interest.